following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Welcome to a Tuesday. It's Tuesday. Sometimes the days all run together and I forget where we are. But it is Tuesday, which means Gotta Laugh will be joining us today. I forgot what day it was because we had a very busy morning. In fact, the House Judiciary Committee just wrapped up its hearing with Attorney General Bill Barr. Oh, yes, there were many, many fireworks, and we will get to a lot of them on today's show. I pulled a lot of audio, and we can go through it. I'm a bit blown away. Not that I didn't expect Bill Barr to be a lying piece of shit, but oh my God, this administration knows no shame. I got to tell you, these are the topics. And the Democrats, look, the Republicans are just vile creatures. They just are. At the beginning of the hearing, Jim Jordan showed this video that ran close to 9 minutes. And it was just violence porn. It was the worst of the ugliness of the first few days of protests after George Floyd's death. That they showed over and over and over again. I mean, their goal was to say to the American people, look how violent those leftists are. Look how evil they are. Look how they're setting the whole world on fire. And they refuse to admit what we know is reality, which is that the majority of the protesters were peaceful. And in fact, what they do is they kept calling out the few instances of violence, of fires being set, of things like that, and blaming it all on the evil Antifa, they're terrorists. But never once did they mention the Proud Boys or the Boogaloo Boys or any of that. And I gotta really commend some of the Democrats on the committee who questioned Bill Barr about his blinders, where he seems to think it's okay when armed protesters, armed with long guns, many carrying Confederate flags, some carrying Nazi flags, stormed the Michigan State House and threatened the governor. They threatened to lynch the governor. There was no military forces. There was no federal troops in camouflage military garb with their tear gas and weaponry clearing out this group of violent protesters who were, they were amassing on the Michigan State Capitol, threatening the governor of the state. Why? Because Donald Trump tweeted out, "Free Michigan," because Governor Whitmer issued a stay-at-home order to protect her citizens. This is, and you've heard me say it over and over and over and over again, but you know what we're living in is pure and simple opposite world.
Everything you thought you knew, you never knew it all. Sideways is straight ahead. Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, opposite world.
So I went through, I listened to the entire thing. I recorded it. I pulled clips. I have so much to share with you. But I went through and basically, you know, I was wondering at the beginning of this hearing what they were going to question Barr on. Were they going to go, you know, all full bore Barr on, there were so many. So I started keeping track. So let me just share some of the topics that they touched on. Foreign interference in elections, systemic racism in policing, misleading the nation regarding the Mueller report, mishandling putting his finger on the scale for Donald Trump and his friends in the Flynn and Roger Stone cases. No Department of Justice response to the armed right-wing storming of the Michigan State House threatening the governor. The Lafayette Square attack by feds on peaceful protesters. Sorry, sometimes I can't read my own notes. Firing of federal prosecutors every time one of them investigates Trump. Efforts to fix the census versus the constitutional mandate to count all people. Doesn't say citizens, says people. Election integrity and efforts to cast doubts on vote by mail. Claiming Berman, the U.S. attorney, was from the Southern District of New York, was stepping down when he was actually fired. Guns, George Floyd, legal favors for POTUS friends. I think I might have said that already. And legal standards for seizing and arresting protesters. That's just my little cursory list of the different topics they hit on. And I got to tell you, I was going to, I'm torn on whether or not I should play a funny today because I've got so much of this to get to. But we do have a tradition to uphold, don't we? All right, so we'll do this. I've got a quick song here. And again, the last few song parodies put out by the Parody Project haven't been exactly ha-ha funny. They've been more, funny. And I think this one falls into that category. But Don Karen and the Parody Project have been putting out these great song parodies for a long time. Didn't just start with the pandemic. So, well, let's hear their latest. All right. And then we'll get into some of these clips from today. And then we'll bring in God to Laugh. And, you know, we'll get through the day. We'll make it. We will get there. So with no further ado, here is a bit of humor from the Parody Project.
How many months must we stay hunkered down before we can visit our clan? Yes, and how many Zooms can we have in one day while using their free basic plan? Yes, and how many lies can the president tell before he's forever banned? The virus, Mumford, is spreading through the air. We just don't know to whom, when, or where. How many rounds can this ne'er-do-well play while people keep dying each day? Yes, and how many times will he stand there and say there is no need for testing?
Boys, everyone, people, slow the testing down, please.
And how many times can he turn from the pleas and pretend it will just go away?
We'll be covered in about 15 minutes.
And yet it's still there. It's spreading through the air. We just don't know to whom, when, or where. How many times must the experts all say you should be standing 6 feet away? Yes, and how many times must we have to be told?
I'm asking this member to put on a mask because that is our company policy.
And
I'm not
doing it because I woke up in a free country.
Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows? Could be he can't count anyway. You might be unaware, but it's spreading through the air, and we don't know to whom, when, or where. You might be unaware, but it's spreading through the air, and we don't know to whom, when, or where.
Aha, the Parody Project. That is Don Karen and the Parody Project. Yeah, they deserve a round of applause for that. Or it's he, I guess. Anyway, real quick, before I get to some of these sound clips from today. I just saw in the chat room that's still going at NicoleSandler.com/listen-live, where you can get all the various streams. There are video streams while I'm still suspended from YouTube. Hello, you can't get a human being on the line at either YouTube or Universal Music Publishing Group, which is who filed the copyright violation against me. Thank you very much. Anyway, somebody in the chat room said Joyce Vance is a lava cue said Joyce Vance is correct. Protest strategy should be to move away from federal buildings so as not to give the fascists a pretext for violence. And that's their defense. That's one of the things that, you know, Barr said, we're protecting federal property. So, you know what? These protesters should move away from the federal buildings. And in fact, I want to share with you an email I got from listener JJ. Hold on. Let me pull this up here. JJ in Covington, Georgia, who writes, protesters for justice across the U.S. should continue to protest. However, they should move their protests to the town square or anywhere away from federal buildings and the Trump SS. Good way to describe them. I do not have a means for broadcasting this tactic, so I thought I'd try to enlist your aid, he writes. Individuals from QAnon or other anti-federal groups that attack federal buildings without the cover of mass demonstrations will be seen for what they are, and the wall of moms and vets will be seen to be demonstrating their rights to free speech. This tactic will clearly put the Trump SS, that he names the TSS, on the wrong side of the law. Just imagine, the TSS establishes a perimeter around the federal building to protect the place against nobody. Meanwhile, the big demonstration is elsewhere. The organizers might even enlist local law enforcement to protect them from the TSS. And I think that's a great idea. Again, no one's, you know, asking me, but that's what they really should do. Look, they're out on the streets. It's not about the federal building that they're surrounding, that the TSS, as JJ puts it, are guarding. It's about protesting this inherent racism in our police system. So many things that Bill Barr said today just drove me fucking crazy. Like he doesn't notice institutionalized racism in policing. Are you fucking kidding me? I'm not even sure where to begin. But I guess we'll begin on that subject. So, Karen Bass, if I had never left California, if I still had my last house in Culver City that I cry because, sorry, I sold it in 2001 when I left LA. I'm a masochist. So I go on Zillow and I see that my house, my old house, is now worth $1.7 million. The house that I sold for $430,000 in 2001. But I digress. Anyway, Karen Bass would be my congressperson if I still lived there. So I kind of like her anyway, but she's good. And here's a little bit of what she's talked about with Bill Barr today at this hearing on the subject of racism.
Thank you. And I do want to comment on part of your opening statement when you were saying that after the Jim Crow period, that our justice system was equal. And I don't believe that's the case.
I said the laws were made equal.
The laws are made equal. They are certainly not applied equally. Mm-hmm. We do have systemic problems in our law enforcement system, our criminal justice system on every level. The fact of the matter is 2.3 million people in the United States are incarcerated. We incarcerate 24% of the world's prisoners. 34% are black, while African Americans are just 13% of the U.S. population. So justice is still not equal, nor are our laws. And I think when we look at how many people are incarcerated or how many people are killed, it is not the numbers. It is the percentage to the percentage of that group in the U.S. population. I yield back my time.
Okay, so that was Karen Bass. She's polite and she's very nice. Now, Cedric Richmond got right to the point. I didn't play it for you, but in his opening statement, Bill Barr laid some platitudes on John Lewis, made me throw up in my mouth a little bit, and I was glad that Cedric Richmond addressed it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attorney General Barr, you
started your testimony with eloquent words about the life and legacy of John Lewis, fighting systematic racism, voter intimidation, civil rights. The one thing that you have in common with your two predecessors, both Attorney General Sessions and Attorney General Whitaker, is that when you all came here and brought your top staff, you brought no black people. That, sir, is systematic racism. That is exactly what John Lewis spent his life fighting.
Yep.
And so I would just suggest that actions speak louder than words.
Yep.
And you should keep the name of the Honorable John Lewis out of the Department of Justice's mouth.
Boom. Oh, yeah. Keep the name of the Honorable John Lewis out of the Department of Justice's mouth. That was worth the price of admission right there. There was a lot. I've got so many clips to share with you, and I'm not even sure where to go. There were so many high points. David Cicilline of Rhode Island was awesome. I'm trying to remember. Jamie Raskin was good, although someone needs to work with him on his microphone technique, because he was right on top of that and talking like this, and it just loses its effectiveness. Pramila Jayapal was great. You know what? Let's do this. Pramila Jayapal here, well, called out Bill Barr on the bullshit that happened in Lafayette Square, and she was taking no shit from anyone.
On two separate occasions, after President Trump tweeted, "Liberate Michigan," to subvert state.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. This is a different clip. This is not the Lafayette Square tweet. This is about Michigan. What I talked about when these armed right wing thugs with long guns and Confederate flags and Nazi flags surrounded the Michigan State House and were threatening the governor. That's what this clip is about.
On two separate occasions, after President Trump tweeted, "Liberate Michigan," to subvert stay-home orders to protect the public health of people in Michigan, protesters swarmed the Michigan Capitol carrying guns, some with swastikas,
yep,
Confederate flags,
yep,
and one even with a dark-haired doll with a noose around its neck. Are you aware that these protesters called for the governor to be lynched, shot, and beheaded?
No.
No.
You're not aware of that?
I was not aware.
Major protests in Michigan. You're the attorney general, and you didn't know that the protesters called for the governor to be lynched, shot, and beheaded. So obviously you couldn't be concerned about that.
Well, there are a lot of protests around the United States.
Oh, my God.
On June 1st, I was worried about the District of Columbia, which is federal.
Protests in certain parts of the country, you're very aware of those. But when protesters with guns and swastikas and Confederate flags.
Excuse me,
Mr. Barr, this is my time, and I control it. You are
Pramila.
Aware of certain kinds of protesters, but in Michigan, when protesters carry guns and Confederate flags and swastikas and call for the governor of Michigan to be beheaded and shot and lynched, somehow you're not aware of that. Somehow you didn't know about it, so you didn't send federal agents in to do to the president's supporters what you did to the president's protesters. In fact, you didn't put pepper balls on those protesters. So the point I'm trying to make here, Mr. Barr, that I think is very important for the country to understand, is that there is a real discrepancy in how you react as the attorney general, the top cop in this country, when white men with swastikas storm a government building with guns. There is no need for the president to, quote, activate you, because they're getting the president's personal agenda done. But when black people and people of color protest police brutality, systemic racism, and the president's very own lack of response to those critical issues, then you forcibly remove them with armed federal officers, pepper bombs, because they are considered terrorists by the president.
You notice something wrong here? Pramila Jayapal of the Seattle area in Washington State. She's just brilliant. That was great. I've got so much more of this. I'll tell you what, I need to take a time out on the Progressive Voices Network. So we'll do that, but we'll keep going here. So PV, take care of some business. We'll be right back on the Nicole Sandler Show on the Progressive Voices Network. Okay, well, they're in spots. I'm going to keep playing some of these clips for you. I'm trying to think who else was so impressive. You know, Ted Lieu, who should have been one of the, I thought, one of the impeachment managers. Unfortunately, he wasn't. He was great. And he's still doing the remote thing from home in California because, you know, we've got a coronavirus. But here's Ted Lieu asking some very important questions of Bill Barr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Barr, for being here today. I'd like to ask you some questions about the legal standard for seizing and arresting protesters.
This is his entire question. I see what I did here.
It requires probable cause before you can seize and arrest a protester, correct?
Yes.
Probable cause. Okay, where was it?
Okay, and the probable cause has to be particularized to a particular person.
Yes.
So if a protester was merely standing around in a crowd in the vicinity of someone else suspected of criminal activity, you cannot arrest that peaceful protester. In other words, there's no such thing as probable cause by mere association, correct?
Well, not strictly, but I'll say that, you know, you do need particularized probable cause.
Okay, and if there's no probable cause,
if someone jumps into a getaway car and there are three or four people in there, that might be enough.
That's not what happened.
Those circumstances. You don't need it on each individual.
Reclaiming my time, Mr. Attorney General.
Reclaiming my time.
If there's no probable cause, you can't arrest a protester, correct?
Correct.
I said at the beginning, arrest has to be predicated on probable cause.
All right. Now, an arrest can also occur whether or not the federal official says it's an arrest. So, for example, if a federal officer takes a protester into custody, transport that protester, let's say, to a federal building, detains a person for questioning, that would constitute an arrest, whether or not the federal official says the person's under arrest.
It should.
Correct?
Well, that would require a very intensive review of all the specifics involved.
What?
Actually, it wouldn't. In the case of Dunaway versus New York, which is black letter law for over 40 years, the question was whether the police violated the 4th and 15th Amendments when, without probable cause to arrest, they took petitioners into custody, transported him to a police station, and detained him for questioning. So the answer is yes, that would constitute an arrest.
No, the answer is that, you know, 4th Amendment is ultimately governed by reasonableness, and there can be circumstances.
Oh, he's such a liar.
The question sometimes is when does something actually become custody?
Reclaiming my time, I'm
citing. You go,
this
Ted.
This is not a trick question, Mr. Barr. I'm just citing you what the Supreme Court said. So here's a problem. Under this standard black letter law, which has been in effect for over 40 years, what the federal forces in Portland did was unconstitutional.
Yes, it was.
Federal
it still
forces
is.
In full combat gear, mm-hmm. in the dark of night, grabbed a protester who was peacefully standing there, forced him into an unmarked van, drove him to a separate location, searched him, detained him, and questioned him. That is what police states do. That's what mm-hmm. authoritarian yeah. regimes
But I don't think
do.
Those were the facts.
That's not. I haven't asked you a question yet, Mr. Barr. Okay. What the federal officials did was illegal because they didn't have probable cause. And how do we know that?
No probable cause.
Because
there was no
Director
arrest warrant.
Because Deputy Director of the Federal Protective Service, Chris Klein, admitted it on national TV. Deputy Director Klein said that the individual that they were questioning was in a crowd and in an area where another individual was aiming a laser at the eyes of officers. That's guilt by association. That's what the Fourth Amendment prohibits. Deputy Director Klein further stated that the protester was released after federal officials concluded, quote, they did not have what they needed, unquote, which again shows there's no probable cause.
No probable
and
cause.
And it appears that federal Deputy Director Klein appears to understand that there was no probable cause because he essentially justifies that action as saying it wasn't an arrest. He calls it, quote, a simple engagement, unquote.
Oh, please.
I'm a former prosecutor. I've never heard that term, a simple engagement, because it's a made-up excuse. What these federal officials did was an arrest. They grabbed a peaceful protester, they forced him into a van, drove him to another location, questioned him. That is exactly what the Supreme Court prohibited over 40 years ago.
So
and that's
I obviously don't know
the Washington Post. I haven't asked you a question yet. In a Washington Post article on July 24th, entitled "Operation Diligent Valor," federal agents told reporters that there's no basis for these arrests. They said, "quote At times, they have grabbed an individual and taken them inside the courthouse before determining that they had no probable cause to charge them with any crime." Unquote.
no probable cause.
That they coordinate with the U.S. Attorney's Office on all of these arrests. I urge you to instruct your federal officials to comply with the Constitution, and I ask you to investigate these arrests because many of them are in violation of the Fourth Amendment. We do not live in a police state. We're better than that.
Well, we should be. Thank you, Ted Lieu. And so you'll notice he didn't even ask him a question there. He just sort of read him the Riot Act. All right, you know what? Let's bring the Progressive Voices people back. We'll do this.
You're listening to The Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
Okay, they're all back. I still got so much more of this. I may continue it tomorrow, but you know what? Let's not wait any longer because I know Laffy's standing by. So, with no further ado, let me get my Laffy picture up here and let's get Laffy.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with Gotta Laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Ah, hello, Gotta Laugh. How are you today? Oh, you know what? Oh, Laffy's not here yet. I'm sorry. We need to get through the voicemail machine first. So let's get Laffy on the line. Hello?
Yes, you reached the Trump cancels throwing out the first pitch hotline.
You mean Trump invites himself and then cancels? Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, yeah, answering machine. Exactly. I'm sorry.
Press one if you think Trump backed out because he couldn't throw the ball hard enough to reach home plate. So they replaced him with somebody who could, Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah.
Press two if you think Trump weaseled out because, well, he couldn't find anyone to pay to do it for him. Press three if you think Trump lied. They dumped him because while practicing his pitch, he kept eating the ball.
I think he was just worried because Topps made a special limited edition baseball card for Dr. Fauci that broke every record in the book. It sold like 500,000 copies in its first day out. And Trump was worried that, you know, Fauci would throw him up even. And the pitch that he threw way off to the left because he didn't want anyone to catch anything. But
I know.
I know.
Well, I have a tweet about this, but I don't know. We probably won't have time for it. We better get right to it. We have so much.
You want to get right to it? All right.
Yeah.
So somebody let loose the birdies. Duck.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
Okay, hey, and I'm just warning you right now, Laffy, we may have a surprise for you today. Just saying. I can't promise anything. We may have a surprise for you today.
Is it a Glyberol goddess surprise?
No, it is not a Glyberol goddess supply, surprise, although it could be an extended Glyberol goddess surprise, but that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to give you any more hints.
I'm nervous. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Here we go. All right. Is this the first one? Yeah. Okay. First. Okay. So you covered the good people, the Democrats who shut up Barr, who stood their ground, who threw out some great points, who knew how to do this. But in the beginning of the hearing, here's the couple of tweets that I picked up from Andrew Prokop, who's a lawyer. Lots of grumbling from Dem legal folks about House Judiciary Dems questioning of Barr today. First, he has Preet Bharara saying, "Whoops, disappointing hearing," and then he says, "And getting worse."
Oh,
and then Daniel Goldman said, "Ineffective opening line of questioning by Representative Jerry Nadler." So,
Nadler was off today, but I got to give him a little bit of leeway here. He was in a car accident on his way down from New York to D.C. for this hearing this morning. That's why it was delayed for an hour. Mm-hmm. And he was just off. Yeah. He was off today.
Well, I would be. I wouldn't have even shown up.
But, I know, right?
And then Walter Schaub said, "I'm turning it off. The missed opportunity is killing me."
Oh, no.
He should have stuck around
because it did get better. As the old saying goes, it gets better. It gets better.
It gets better.
Yeah.
Okay, Laura Rosen, I have these all out of order.
That's okay.
So, but it's okay. Laura Rosen, who I just love, she said, she was quoting now here, Representative Stanton said, can you assure American people you will not interfere in state vote by mail?
Yep.
And Barr said,
no.
Not giving up ability to ensure integrity of election. And Stanton said, if Trump asks you to intervene, yes or no? Barr said, I will follow the law. Stanton, very disappointing. Barr won't say no.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
that's
he wouldn't.
That's a big deal.
He would not say that he wouldn't intervene there. Nope. Not at all. In fact, he was asked, what happens, what would you do if Trump loses on November 3rd and then on January 20th, he won't leave? And Barr said, well, if it was a fair, definitive election, I'd leave. That wasn't the question. It wasn't about you. What would you do about the orange menace? But
the other thing was that he qualified it and said, if it was a fair election,
right,
who determines that? Trump?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Okay, then Philip Lewis, who is who? I have no idea who
he
is. Let me see.
He's a person.
HuffPost.
Oh, okay.
From HuffPost.
Gotcha.
I had to move my little picture of you so that I could see that.
Okay.
He said, okay, so Spencer Ackerman first tweeted Barr, when people resist law enforcement, they're not peaceful. And then Philip Lewis said, Barr says this as John Lewis lies in state at the Capitol. So if you resist law enforcement, you're not peaceful.
You right.
You tell that to John Lewis?
John Lewis, because his whole... everything was about resisting. It was about protesting.
Peaceful
it was
resistance.
About making good trouble. And
right.
That's how he got where he did. And so don't you tell me that protesting is not protected speech. Hello. And, you know, there was a whole exchange in here. I wish my labeling was better. A whole thing about, you know, the difference between peaceful pro. Here, let me play this real quick. This is Cicilline from Rhode Island.
Ever appropriate, Mr. Barr, for officers to use force against peaceful protesters? Yes or no?
Not against peaceful protesters.
So you also don't mention in your statement today or your testimony that federal officers have even tear gassed elected representatives.
That's
County
right.
Commissioner Sharon Myron confirmed firsthand, last night I was tear gassed by a federal occupying force. I saw throw canisters of poison without warning into a nonviolent crowd, including elders and the vulnerable. And on July 23rd, the mayor, Ted Wheeler, was tear gassed. He called the tactics of the officers abhorrent. These are elected representatives with grave concerns that officers are using abhorrent tactics, including tear gassing elderly nonviolent Americans. So let me ask you, sir, do you think it's ever appropriate to use tear gas on peaceful protesters? Yes or no?
Well, the problem in these things sometimes occur because
yes or no.
It's hard to separate people who
Mr. Barr, my question is very specific. Do you think it is ever appropriate to use tear gas on peaceful protesters?
It is.
Yes or no?
It is appropriate to use tear gas when it's indicated to disperse
on peaceful protesters.
To disperse an unlawful assembly, and sometimes,
sir,
unfortunately,
peaceful
protesters are affected by
Oh my God. Oh my God. There were so many instances like that where he's parsing his words and he just won't come out and say it.
Oh, but that's what he always does. He weasel words.
He does. He does. Hey,
by the way,
yes?
As he left, you know, he was being, of course, completely partisan, as you know, and biased and everything. And so in case anybody had any doubt about that, as he left, there was video of him giving a fist bump or I guess a wrist bump to Representative Johnson.
Okay. Well, there's
GOP
that.
Representative Johnson.
Of course.
So they're fist bumping as he leaves.
Of
so
course they
in
are.
In case anybody
well,
needed to.
You know what? Let me just play one more quick clip for you because it's also from
sure.
Cicilline. David Cicilline, I believe is his name, from Rhode Island. And this is another example of Barr not being willing to, you know, well, to make a stand.
You're the Republican-led Senate Intelligence Committee unanimously found that Russia interfered with our elections and attempted to undermine American democracy, correct?
And I said so too.
Is it ever appropriate, sir, for the president to solicit or accept foreign assistance in an election?
Ever.
It depends what kind of assistance.
What?
Is it ever appropriate for the president or presidential candidate to accept or solicit foreign assistance of any kind in his or her election?
No, it's not appropriate.
Okay. Sorry you had to struggle with that one, Mr. Jim.
Right?
That was awesome.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Oh, my God. Okay, I hate to do this to you, Laffy, because I know you're in the middle of tweets, but our surprise is here.
Okay.
So we think we found your long-lost sister. I know you didn't know you had a sister.
I did not know.
But let me see if I can bring her in.
Hi. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you. Oh, hold on. I got to fix the shot. Hold on. I got
to
bring.
No, I look better to the side.
Oh, you're way over to the side. Hold on. And it's not supposed to show up on the main thing yet. So gotta laugh. I don't know. Do you guys know each other even? You don't.
Not personally. I follow you both on the Twitter, but that's about it.
Well, I keep hearing from our wonderful listeners, and I still got to fix your shot here. I'm going to do it this way. So
sure.
This, okay, but you're still over to the left, to the right. Okay, there you are. So Laffy, Laffy, meet Jody Hamilton. Jody Hamilton, meet Gotta Laugh, and you guys could be sisters.
We could. I see the resemblance. You could totally be one of my sisters.
Somebody, with the first time I was on video on this show, which is only a couple of weeks ago, they said I look just like you.
Yeah, you definitely could fit in my family, and people would go, well, sure, she's one of us.
Yeah, right? And I need a sister, so good. Okay, can I borrow something?
And you're both
Yes, you can, and I have a lot of sisters I can share you with. So.
Oh, thank God. Okay, because all I've got is a brother, and he's a schmuck, so this is good.
and you're both out there in California. Now, of course, Jody Hamilton is a regular on the Stephanie Miller Show, and she does her own From the Bunker podcast that you can get at from-the-bunker.com.
Perfect. You do that well.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm a pro. That's why they pay me the big bucks. So, I was looking. I saw your picture this morning, and I thought, you know, Laffy's on today. And, Jody, you guys really could be sisters. So I just thought I'd bring you in here to pop in and surprise Laffy. And you're both out in California where I'm not.
Where are you,
so you,
Jody,
should know each other.
We're in California.
I'm in Southern California. I'm in North Hollywood.
Oh, okay. I'm in Thousand Oaks.
See, you're just a little north of me.
Yeah. Just a few thousand hours on the freeway, but that, you know.
Well, now that we're still on the stay at home, the traffic isn't that bad.
That's true. My car is wearing a mask, by the way.
Perfect.
And you know, you guys also have a very similar background. You both come from a show busy kind of producing, writing thing. You know, Jody, we all know your mother is goddess Carol,
amazing, yeah,
Carol Burnett. Yeah. Oh my God. And Laffy has worked with a lot of Carol's, you know, contemporaries through the years. Yes.
Oh yeah. Well, I guess I have. And in fact, I saw your mom live. She was doing a Steve Martin and her book signing a few years ago that I went to, which was wonderful.
I think I remember. I did not go to that, but I think I recall what you're talking about.
Yeah, she didn't stay to sign the books. He did, but we got like a real good helping of her. It was just wonderful. She's wonderful. You're wonderful. There you go.
Thank you. You're so sweet.
So, Jody, thank you for popping in. I just threw this out at you today. I'm like, you and Laffy really could be sisters. And I sent her, Laffy, I sent Jody a screenshot of you from our live thing here.
Okay.
And she's like, you're right. We could be. And so I thought this would be a fun little break from the
insanity.
Oh,
I love it. No, I'm so happy to meet you. I just think you're wonderful.
Me too. Oh, thank you. That's very sweet.
Sure.
So thank you for joining us. You're welcome to hang out as we go through Laffy's tweet spot. And
Storm. Yeah. Well, I mean, the Bill Barr thing today was just like, when he said we're developing evidence, all I thought was, that's not the right word.
No.
Developing sounds illegal to me. Collecting sounds accurate and legal, but it just popped in I was walking the earth like I do. And I heard that and I was like, wait a minute, what did he just say? You know, and Representative Jalia Paul having to correct somebody's pronunciation of her last name. I was getting mad too.
That was awesome. Yeah. I was very proud of most of the Democrats on the committee who were asking the questions. And I thought Bill Barr's behavior was reprehensible. At one point at the end, it was with, I think it was with one of the women he was so rude to, Marilyn Dean, Madeline Dean. Did you hear this? To Madeline Dean. Let me just play a little bit of this for you guys, because I was stunned. I mean, he was belligerent and nasty to women and women of color. I guess it runs in their administration. But to Madeline Dean, listen to this exchange.
Between chemical compounds and naturally occurring substances.
Attorney General, reclaiming my time. There are rules by which we operate here. I would ask you to respect them. Take a look at the screen. I've placed on this screen for reference, as you are aware, how your department describes pepper balls used on Americans in Lafayette Square. A 2009 Justice report noted that the pepper ball, quote, system's accuracy and accompanying blunt trauma impact made it an ideal chemical dispensing system. So while you, in a quote, said it's not chemical, you today confirm it is chemical, and you're aware of your department's policy, are you not?
What policy?
Provided to you.
What does it say? What's the policy?
Oh, my God. Well, I showed it to you. Finally,
yes, she did.
Whether or not you authorized it at the time.
Now he's laughing. You hear him laughing?
Perhaps you weren't listening.
I didn't see the policy. What was the policy in there?
Listening. Fine.
To tear gas protesters.
Authorized the use of pepper balls. What? I did not ask you a question yet, sir. Ask you to please refrain from interrupting me.
And then he
snitched. We watched horrifying.
Okay, now,
sir,
now here.
America was founded on the principles of free speech.
When people resist law enforcement, they're not peaceful.
Reclaiming my time. I'm surprised at your lack of respect for a member of Congress.
The time of the gentlelady has expired.
Wow. I was proud of her for calling him out. And they did. A number of them called him out. But he was as rude and irrespectful as he could possibly be.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
We are sisters. Oh, my God. That was wonderful. My comment was just going to be that he treated everybody of color with total disrespect and every woman. It was a pattern. Everybody was picking up on it on Twitter. That was one of the things that set this particular hearing apart, was that it was pronounced. It was obvious.
Well, and then when he said, when he wanted to take that last break before when they were almost done.
Right.
Yeah. And then he said, well, I had to wait an hour for you. The guy got hit by a car coincidentally this morning.
Yes.
And so I'm sorry, we had you lined up three times so far to come to this committee. Yeah, you can hold it for 20 minutes.
Exactly.
And then after that, he said, you're real classy.
Yes, he did.
Barred. Yeah, I heard that.
You're real classy. One of the best parts was at the very end when Debbie Mercus Powell, I believe, played a video, and the question was she showing the violent police action on protesters? Was that in Venezuela or was that in here? And Nadler says to him, well, that's the question, isn't it? But he fucked it up because he said, you know, was it here or was it Ecuador? It's like Venezuela. Oh yeah, Venezuela. I'm sorry, Jerry Nadler, again, he was in a car accident this morning. He had the right to be a little off, and he was a little off today.
That's okay.
No.
All right, ladies, I have to go finish doing my show and uploading it. So lovely to meet both of you via
virtual hug. Virtual
so
hug.
So nice to meet you, and thank you for joining
my
us.
My sister from another mister.
Bye, Jody Hamilton.
Guys.
Bye. Follow her. Great to see you.
Go check out From the Bunker and follow her on Twitter at Jody Hamilton. Jody Hamilton or From the Bunker Jr., right? Is that?
There you go. That's my Twitter handle.
There you go.
From the Bunker Jr. Bye, you guys. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you, Jody. Bye-bye. Nice to meet you. Bye.
Bye.
So there's your present, Laffy, your little surprise.
I love that present.
Wasn't that cool?
I love that present so much.
I know. I've been a fan of hers. And again, I just adore her mother.
I do too.
But,
just
you know,
her.
Yeah, so.
I'm going to get through some tweets.
Okay, back to the tweets.
Okay. I don't even know what this one is, so bye.
Okay.
Or maybe that's my stream. I don't know what that was. All right, getting rid of that one.
Yes.
Okay, so Barr twice said we are not out there looking for trouble about the streets, you know, being out on the streets in Portland and so
yeah,
on.
Yeah, right.
If he has to say it twice, you know, it tells me that they are out there looking for trouble.
Of course they are. And again, if they're not looking for trouble, then they wouldn't be leaving the grounds of the federal property that they're allegedly protecting, right? If they only have the right to protect federal property, when they push the protesters back, then they don't need to push them anymore. They're not there. But they're lobbing tear gas across this fence at people who were standing there peacefully.
Right. And by the way, Malcolm Nance also said that they should protest away from those buildings
so they
wouldn't get in trouble.
They should.
Okay, Gohmert just apologized to Barr, I said in my own tweet.
Who did?
For Gohmert.
Oh.
For the abuse he's taken. And I said, Portland and other cities on line one and every Black American killed by cops would call in too, but they can't.
Right.
Because they're dead.
That's
so,
right.
So, yeah, the abuse that poor little Barr said. And Barr kept, saying, like, poor widow Twumpy, you're all powing on Twumpy. That's not fail. Okay, so please. That happened. Okay, so totally off topic now. Moving on.
Yeah.
Moving on. Donnie Jr. got grounded from Twitter for 12 hours.
I heard. Yes. Oh, you told me. That's where. Why? What did he do now?
He's not suspended, but he was limited for 12 hours because he shared a fake cure for coronavirus last night, part of a video where doctors, in quotes, one of whom believes sex with witches causes disease, ooh, tell you not to wear masks.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, so that got taken down. And, I've noticed there, I know you quit Facebook a long time ago. I still stay on there for a number of reasons. One, thankfully, we're on Facebook because YouTube has suspended me from live streaming. So thankfully, we could do Facebook Live. But I've noticed in recent days, a number of my so-called friends have drunk the Kool-Aid, and I don't get it. They are mask deniers and they are infection. I don't get it. I don't get
that's
people
crazy.
Are dying. And here in South Florida, the hospitals are overcrowded. We've passed New York in the number of infections. We're second only to California. So you still got us beat, Laffy. In fact,
we're number one. Damn it.
So I've had to like unfriend these people, and some of them I know used to be reasonable human beings. So I don't understand.
I don't know. Maybe they never were and you didn't know it. That whole thing about, throwing out the pitch. Well, not only did Trump announce it and then cancel it, but it turned out that the Yankees didn't know about it.
No, when he tweeted that he was going to throw out the first pitch at the Yankees game on August 15th or whatever date he made up, they said that was the first they had heard of it.
Yes, he never heard of it. It turns out that he thought he had a standing invitation and just assumed that he was going to be able to do this. And, of course, he was doing it because, like you said, he was jealous of Fauci. Uh-huh. But they said, well, you kind of got to make a reservation. You have to tell us about it. So that didn't work out.
So then he canceled it. He said, I'm not going to do it because I'm so focused on the China virus. You're so fucking full of shit. Shut up.
He's so focused on the virus that he spent the next 2 days serial tweeting. So not quite focused on the virus.
No.
And here's another little slap in the face. This actually was put out by Fox, and nobody else put it out. I was really surprised Fox did, and I never linked to them, but I did. Twitter deletes video promoted by Trump on hydroxychloroquine
That's
used
right.
for coronavirus.
Yeah, they took it down because it was so erroneous. It was just it was lies. And so, thankfully, they're finally starting to stand up to this man.
Yeah, a few people are, a few entities are starting to do that.
Well, just like Salem, Sinclair Broadcasting was going to run not the plandemic bullshit movie, but an interview with the people, the scientists behind it. And they got shamed into canceling the segment finally.
Big time. They got shamed.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Well, here's another embarrassment. Trump. Yeah. Because he's such a shithead. Trump's meeting with pharmaceutical executives collapses after the companies refuse to send anybody.
Oh my God! But what about his big
party and nobody shows up? You know?
Yeah. Well, this one woman who I had to unfriend today starts saying, "Oh, let's talk about the good things that Trump has done. I don't want any negativity." And she puts this list, and it's all tinfoil hat shit. And you know, his executive order on lowering drug prices. Yeah, talk to me when you see a drug price actually come down.
Talk to me when there's actually a vaccination that will work, is efficacious, and won't wear off in 3 weeks.
And has been tested and is safe. I mean, vaccines, I'm sorry, take years to develop. And we don't know how safe it's going to be.
You don't know how safe it's going to be. You don't even know if they'll have the components to manufacture it and get it out to 5 billion people. Yeah. They've got, you know, vials and syringes and little rubber stoppers and all kinds of things that they have to stock up on. They claim they're doing that, but the numbers that they'd have to come up with, I don't think they're actually prepared. And they're using companies that work out of garages. So not a good thing. But anyway, yeah, in a metaphor, this is from Ross Story, in a metaphor for Trump's presidency, another event has been canceled after the White House couldn't get anyone to show up. Politico reported that a July 28th event with pharmaceutical executives at the White House to discuss Trump's attempts to lower the cost of drug prices was canceled. The move comes after Trump released a group of executive orders on the issue on Friday last week. So drug makers refused to participate.
Oh my God! Yeah, and Cynthia in the chat in the chat room says my drugs went up. Of course they did.
Of course, yeah.
Right, and they're still trying to kill your Obamacare. You know, I also guest hosted the broadcast last night, and I noted on his show, I didn't have time here, but noted that yesterday was the third anniversary of John McCain's big thumb down vote. Or actually, it's today too, because it happened at like 2:33 in the morning, if you remember correctly, on the East Coast. So technically, it was July 28th. So 3 years ago today and yesterday, what John McCain saved the day, because if he had been if he hadn't voted no, if he wasn't the third no vote, they would have succeeded in killing what's left of the Affordable Care Act. And frankly, I'd be in big trouble because the whole pre-existing conditions thing. Trump says, of course, well, we'll get rid of it, and then in 2 weeks, I'll have a new plan. Yeah, it took them over a year to put together the Affordable Care Act. You don't come up with something in 2 weeks, and he's been in office for almost 4 years and still hasn't come up with a single thing. So,
because there isn't anything.
Of course there isn't anything.
Here's something from Fox News also. Senator Perdue campaign takes down ad that enlarged Democrat opponent's nose. Republican Georgia Senator David Perdue's campaign removed a digital ad attacking Democratic opponent John Ossoff amid allegations of anti-Semitism after a report said it included an image that had been altered to make Ossoff's nose bigger.
Unbelievable. And of course, Perdue has not apologized. They took the ad down because they had to, but he didn't show any humanity because he doesn't have any.
No. In a word,
yeah,
no.
Exactly.
So here's something. Yeah. Sally Yates is going to testify as part of the Republican probe into Russia investigation.
Oh, you mean into the oranges of the investigation?
And the yes. Let's see if I can do this without this video going off. There we go. She's going to testify next week as part of the probe. She'll appear before the Senate Judiciary Committee on August 5th, chaired by Lindsey Graham.
Oh, boy.
So she'll be there. I don't know why. I mean, I know why they want her to come in, but she's going to not do well for them.
Good. Well, you know, they can't only have witnesses who are going to back up their bullshit.
Sure they can. They're Republican.
I know. Yeah, there's that. There is that. Yeah.
Here's a story that we're getting used to seeing. An Alabama pastor says 40 people infected with coronavirus after a revival event. The whole church has got it just about. Guess why? Masks were not required.
Of course not. And there was one question with Barr when they talked about, reopening. He's like, but you're talking about churches. Yeah, point being,
yeah,
churches is where this thing is spreading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Now, this is also getting to be a pattern. Richmond riots instigated by white supremacists disguised as Black Lives Matter.
Yep.
And today, another story like that popped up. There was a guy, I've forgotten now, he had a nickname. He was dressed in a thing.
Oh,
and they
Umbrella
him
Man.
Thing.
Wasn't yeah, it, it was Umbrella Man.
Yeah, he
yes.
turned out to be a white supremacist.
Yes. In fact, I have something about Umbrella Man right here that somebody said. Umbrella Man was a white supremacist trying to incite George Floyd rioting. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. That's the one.
Yep.
That is exactly
and
the one.
And if they dig in, that's what they'll find. Because again, the majority of these protests were just that. Peaceful protests. There were agents provocateur. There were, Proud Boys and Boogaloo Boys and whatever you want to call them. They keep saying, Antifa, Antifa. And fucking Bill Barr called Antifa fascist. No, Billy Boy. Antifa is anti-fascist. It's in the word. You're talking about your Proud Boys and your Boogaloo Boys and all the other Nazis and Klan members and pieces of shit who all happen to be Republicans. Go figure.
And that was one of their talking points today. It was Antifa, Antifa, only Antifa, 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 Antifa. Antifa.
Right.
That and Biden, Obama, and there was one more buzzword. I forgot, but they kept pushing these old, tired talking points that nobody is really falling for anymore, except their own little base, their little shrinking base. Anyway, Jeff Stein of Washington Post said Larry Kudlow today, meaning yesterday, on the GOP stimulus plan, there will be an increased there will be increased business deductions for meals and entertainment, right?
Yep.
So Hunter DK said, if you want to know how dumb Team Trump is, they believe the proper response to a deadly pandemic is new tax breaks for business lunches, and they've remained obsessed over it for weeks now.
Yeah. You know, Bernie Sanders was on, I don't know, one of the shows last night. And let me just play you a little bit of what he said about that, because it's stunning. So he was asked about this, the Republican new COVID relief bill that was supposed to be released last week, which they finally released yesterday. It was delayed because of infighting with Donald Trump and the Republicans, because Trump wanted a payroll tax cut, because, you know, that's how you help unemployed people. Yeah. Anyway, here's a little bit of what Bernie said.
Pathetic would be too mild a word. They are now giving 100% deduction for rich people to go out and have three martini lunches. But you know what? Millions of families in this country are facing hunger. There's not an additional nickel in their package for nutrition programs for children or for working people. Not a nickel in their proposal for elections, not a nickel for the postal service. So what you are saying is, I think their priorities are coming out pretty clearly.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of Bernie for you.
That's perfect.
Yep. Pathetic is not strong enough of word.
No, that's exactly right. Yep. And my last tweet of the day.
Ooh, okay.
First, Larry Sabato said, Notre Dame withdraws as presidential debate host site because of the virus. And our buddy LOL GOP. He said, so if you can't hold a debate at one of the top universities in the world, we probably shouldn't be sending millions of kids back to second grade.
You think?
I think.
You know, it's common sense. And these people just deny reality. And that's what's so infuriating and so frustrating. The moron did another one of his briefings yesterday, did one of his free hour-long television time grabs, pretending it's a coronavirus task force briefing, where he puts out bullshit. Somebody asked him, where's Dr. Birx? Where's Dr. Fauci? And he said, I just spoke to them. You know, Dr. Birx is outside. And he's like, they tell me everything and I pass it along to you. Sorry, I'd rather hear it without your dim filter.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he apparently, when we were getting on the air, or when you were first starting the show, he was on TV again.
Of course he was.
Ugh. So he had probably some round table telling him how wonderful he was, or he got up on the stage again pretending to talk about the virus and made it into another ego campaign rally.
Right. Yeah, it's astounding that he still does this. I say let him keep talking, because the more he talks, the further in the foot goes, and maybe he'll choke himself out, and you know.
And the less TV we have to watch.
Exactly. There is that. Hey, you know who's coming on the show tomorrow?
Who?
Elise Hoag. She's the head of NARAL America and North America, and she's got a new book out, The Lies That Bind. So
great.
She'll join us tomorrow. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else I need to tell you guys about. I don't know. Just stay safe.
Trying.
That's all. And don't listen to the bullshit deniers. Gotta Laugh. Find her on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh, here every Tuesday. Thank you, Laffy.
Thank you, and thanks for the surprise.
Sure. You got a new sister.
Yeah, I do.
All right, I'll talk to you later. And bye-bye. And with that, we are done. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everyone. Take good care and be safe. That's it. Bye.